Inspire in the end generation. That's your generation, beloved.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Our Father's Word, chapter 15, the great book of Jeremiah. You know, our Father in the last couple of three chapters has been very hard on false prophets, false preachers, and false shepherds, false pastors. But in the 10th verse of this chapter 15, we switch to the good pastors. The good prophets, and naturally Jeremiah being one that is chosen of God. You might call this 15th chapter intercession. God lets you know how he feels about people that care nothing about their heritage, that care nothing about God himself. He said, when it comes to that point where they've drifted so far, don't pray for them. Don't even try to intercede between me and them. I want nothing to do with it. Now, this is a pretty serious thing, and it lets you know how that you can wait just one day too long to tell Father you love him like they did at Kadesh Barneo. Okay. Chapter 15, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father. Verse 1 reads, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. In other words, two of the greatest intercessors there ever were. Moses himself. I mean, God really, he was ready to destroy the house. And Moses said, please, Father, for your name's sake, don't do it. I intercede for them. You know, Moses, he said, I'm going to save you and destroy everybody else. And Moses said, no, not the people. In other words, this shows you the compassion of an intercessor. He cares more about the people than he does himself. So God said, I don't care if you had those two. When these people start chasing after the Antichrist, when they start chasing after other religions and heathenistic practices, I want nothing to do with them. And even if Moses or Samuel ask me, it would still be the same answer. No. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass if, here's that old if condition again, if they say unto me, whither shall we go forth? Question, what are we going to do? Where are we going? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord. This is the message from God. Such as are for death to death, and such as is for the sword to the sword, and such as for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. In other words, kind of a day of separation. This would put you in mind of Revelation chapter 13, verse 10, whereby again he said you got a choice. Now, those, naturally, that one of Satan's name is death. Hey, if you want to go to him, have a good trip. That's it. Because I'm through with you. Such as for the sword to the sword, if you want to believe the lies out of Satan's mouth, then it'll be Christ's sword that corrects you. And such as for famine, the famine in the end times, as it's written in the 8th chapter of Amos, is for hearing the word of God. If you don't want to listen, then starve. You see, our Father is showing you a side here that he can be pushed to a point where you're going to have to make the decision. They would have to make the decision. Nobody's going to be able to intercede for them. It's a personal thing. And of course, those for the captivity, if you want to be captivated by Almighty God, if He takes your heart, your own Father, and loves you, you got it made, okay? And it comes down to a personal thing. Verse 3, "And I will appoint over them four kinds." You want to listen to this. The four kinds of what? You might think of the four hidden dynasties, but He kind of breaks it down for you a little bit. "Four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy." Now, let's break it down a little bit. The sword to slay. If you listen to the sword, the tongue of Satan, that's his sword that comes out of his mouth, the equivalent of Christ's sword, which heals, then it's gonna cause your death, spiritual death, not just flesh. And the dogs to tear. The word dogs in the Hebrew tongue, chidev, means a male prostitute. You want to go whoring around and getting into perversion, you just have to it. God doesn't like it. A lot of you might say, well, are you reading a lot into it? No, that's the fact. Take your Strong's, check it out. Check this word chidev, dogs, out. Male prostitute, as it is used right here. And the fowls of heaven, that's Satan and his little lieutenants that come down with him, the fallen angels that caused the mess in the garden, after the garden to start with in Genesis chapter 6. They're coming back, friend. Paul warned you of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, when he said a woman needs to keep her head covered, meaning Christ over, because of the angels. Because if you have Christ over you, if you're under the Holy Spirit, they have orders not to touch you. And the beast of the earth to devour and destroy. That is to say, those dynasties and what the ways of the world will do. You want to stay with your Father. He says, when I've had it, I've had it. Don't try to intercede for them. They're going to, and don't worry, He leaves the door open. If they want to make it on their own, then they better do some repenting. And they better get to it quickly. Verse 4. "And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem." Do you know what he did? Do you know what Manasseh means in the Hebrew tongue? It means forgetting. They forget the word of God. And Manasseh, as you will read in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 3, he reversed everything that his father did right. Reversed it, just like that. He put back all the egg rollins and bunnies and everything that was foreign to God's truth, and called it worship, because people forget the true God and will just grab at whatever. You know, that's what got men in trouble. At first, they wanted a king they could see rather than a God they couldn't see but could trust. God allowed it. He said, "I'm going to scatter them." That's what He's going to say. They're even going to forget who they are. They're going to forget I am God and take up their own little ways of worship. Verse 5, "For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest?" They're not going to care. All they care about is themselves. Who's going to bother to even find out how you are or where you are with your people scattered? Because I will scatter them. You know, many people today, they don't know who they are. That forgetting has happened to them. They forget. Their heritage means nothing. Do you know that's why God hated Esau? He didn't care anything about his heritage, meaning he didn't care anything about his father. Verse 6, "Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand, not for you, but against thee, and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. I'm weary with your repenting over and over and over and going ahead and doing the same thing. You repent of all your sins, and then you go out there rolling eggs again and stuff on my Passover day. You just can't seem to get it right, and I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of it. It's what God is saying. You know, this is a position you don't want to put yourself in, friend. Don't ever try to test God. You want to rather share your love with Him to know what He's done for you. These four hidden dynasties of the end times spoken of in the great book of Zechariah in chapter 1 and 2, you better remember them. They're very real. Do you know what God's emotions are toward people that want to deceive themselves and confuse themselves? Do you know what He says about it? Verse 7. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people since they return not from their ways. In other words, I'm going to scatter them. Do you know what this fan is? It's a winnowing fan. But I'm going to scatter them all over the world. They won't know where their children are, and their children won't know who they are. And naturally, that has come to pass. You know, it is kind of a shame that many people in this great nation, America, blessed as we are, they have no idea why we're blessed. They don't realize the scattering of God's children and the gathering of them back again into a superpower to bring in the last days. They have no conception. Why? They haven't cared. They repent of their own little personal sins. They never get into the sins of the nation, the sins of the world, the perversion that people try to bring forth. God doesn't like it. He made things natural. He wants it to stay that way. Verse 8. If you don't understand, that means God says, I'm going to put the fan to them, and there's nobody going to resist that, I guarantee you. Verse 8. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. That means he's coming in broad daylight. The spoiler always comes in the night to surprise people, the robber, to catch them off guard. He says, I'm going to bring him right in the middle of the day. Plain sight. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. That's the coming of the Antichrist in the future sense, beloved. It was Nebuchadnezzar, historically. Soon after this writing, the king of Babylon came, and he's going to come again. And it's going to happen instantly, probably the middle of the day, making everyone so proud that Messiah has returned. There's just one big problem with it. And this is why God's going to be really fed up when it takes place, because it's the false Messiah. It's what the controversy has been over since the garden between Satan and Almighty God, our Father. He's about had it, friend, with those that don't care about Him. For all that He has done for us to bring us the truth, the Word, whereby you don't have to starve to death for truth or knowledge to know what's happening, but to absorb the Word of God and His love, His blessings. Which would you prefer? I really don't think it's that difficult for one with common sense or in their right mind to decide what they want. And so it is. You know, the reason the widows are so outnumbered, they were supposed to be virgin brides for Christ. But they all seem to be widows because we did away with the one they married. That's to say, the false Christ. He's over in the pit. What a sad, sad state of affairs. at the appearance of the spoiler, the Antichrist. Verse 9. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her sun is gone down. She's got no light. While it was yet day, she hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. They're going into captivity. I'm going to allow it. Beloved, when it comes to the deception of the end times, many are already captivated by the doctrines of men to the point, as I almost even hate to say it again, you don't have to understand God's word, just listen to me. You're going to be gone. You're saved. Oh, by who? Did the person that told you that, informed you of that, tell you that the Antichrist comes first to load his wagon up with saved people? Well, I didn't know about that. Well, then you haven't read God's word. That's why God is upset. That's why he says there's going to be a separation. And our father says they would even destroy me if I gave them the chance. We read it just a lecture or so back. It hurts his feelings. And his feelings, he shed tears. And then he goes into the, you want to remember, well, does God really love us? It sounds to me like he's angry at. No. Remember the girdle? He wanted you close. He said, this girdle is symbolic of my people. I want you close around me. But then he told Jeremiah, you take that girdle and you bury it in a hole in the ground and let it rot. And then he picked it up. Would you want that around you? Well, he doesn't want rotten people around him. That is to say, that care not. Repent over every little thing, but don't even realize the real truth or what they're doing wrong. He says, I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of it. And so it is. You know, our Father has feelings. And they can be hurt. You see, that's why his feeling of love is so very, very strong. You see, we are made in his image, and he has feelings like we do, only more so. It's a good idea for a person to want to be in a position where they're pleasing to God. Now, thank our Heavenly Father. We come to the 10th verse where he begins to talk about good shepherds that you should listen to. Verse 10. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. In other words, if you come out a true prophet teaching the real truth, that is to say, a real pastor teaching the real truth, the way of the world, you're not going to make much of a hit, I guarantee you. If you think being popular is the answer to teaching God's word accurately, you're mistaken. Because the world and the religious system on its own, steeped in the traditions of men, you're not going to be popular, I guarantee it. That's why it is, you pay a price if you're going to make a stand. But who would not want to stand for what is right for our Father? That's not a price to pay. That's a badge of honor to wear. It's to stand for truth. And let Satan hate you, because he is the prince of this hour. I want him to hate me, because I'm not afraid of him. I know that in Christ's name, we have power over him, and he knows it, and he's afraid of it. So you see, I don't care what the emotions of the people are, as long as we have truth. You don't care what the world thinks. Because the only way that you can make any correction, not dealing in usury and other things, that's nice. But holding the real truth is what upsets them. Verse 11, the Lord said, Verily, it shall be well with that remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in time of affliction. In other words, what he's saying, I'm going to give you power over them, and at the time I visit, it'll be well with you. Why? God said they can't harm a hair on your head, Luke chapter 21, when you make a stand. Okay. Why? Because you're a remnant. That's God's election, those that know the truth. And, you know, Satan knows you too. Okay. But that's certainly nothing to be afraid of. When you plow deep, and when you know you're plowing right and you're doing God's word, don't care what little insignificant people that God is fed up with might say. Verse 12, shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Do you think that iron is going to stop the king of Babylon from coming? That's to say the Antichrist. The answer is no. It's not going to. Nothing will. But that's all right. In Christ, we still have the power. Verse 13, thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without prize, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. In other words, the monetary system, kaput. He'll start his own. But you don't want anything to do with that, okay? I'm talking about the king of Babylon, the one that's coming, and iron and steel can't stop him. 14, I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. But you know something? The beauty of it is, the three Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace to give you an example that you don't have to worry about that fire. Because the king of Babylon himself, the type of he that is to come, said, how many men did we put in there? I see, well, we only put three. I see four. The Son of God is walking with them. They weren't even singed. You couldn't smell smoke upon them. And do you recognize that verse? Do you recognize where it comes from? In Revelation 15, it said the remnant, God's elect, will be singing a song. And that song is the song of Moses. And quite frankly, you're not going to have it, but the psalm is written in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And the verse is verse 22. Let me read it to you. This is the song of the overcomers. For a fire is kindled in mine anger. This is at his return, when God's wrath spills over. And shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. That is evil, the rudiments. As it is written in the great book of 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, that fire, you know, before it was with water that the first earth age was ended, the katabol, the overthrow of Satan. But it's very clear, as all three earth ages are listed in that third chapter of 2 Peter, in the 10th verse, he said, this fire will destroy the elements. And the word in the Greek is stancheon, and it means that is the rudiments, or that is evil. It doesn't harm those that are good, just like it didn't harm the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. It's not going to harm you. Why? Because you're touched with it every day when the Holy Spirit touches you. And you feel that warmth from and love from your Holy Father. Then you know He's there. And he said, I'm in control. I'm in charge. That still does not mean that he's happy. He's happy with the remnant only. With the rest, I think he's made it pretty clear in this chapter just how God feels toward them. 15. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering, how that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Jeremiah did too. Man, I mean, they raked him over the coals time out. They even told him, said, you need to stop preaching that or we're killing you. Okay, we want you here in the land of the living. We don't want you to have to leave if you keep teaching that stuff. And you know who said that to him? Remember, it was the city of Anathoth, which is to say, the city of the preachers. The preachers told him that. Do you think when one still cries out, God doesn't hear that if the world is against you and you're doing what's right? Verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. That's a Hebraism saying, I found the word of God and I absorbed it in my mind. And it was sweet. It was beautiful. And I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I be called by your name. I am a son of God. That is to say, a Christian, a Christ man. And what does Christ mean? It means anointed one. And Jesus Christ, Yeshua, meaning Yahweh, God's Savior. You're a part of that. Why? Because He has saved you. Not the fake, but the true. And it does make a big difference, as you're beginning to understand, because the majority of the people are misled, unfortunately. That's also written in the book of Revelation, sad but true. But that doesn't give you an excuse to have the knowledge and that you've known since you were a child there was more to God's Word than you had been taught. You listen up. You follow your Father. He'll take care of you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The main thing is that you don't forsake Him, because these that He's fed up with have. They chase traditions of men that make void this word of God that you must eat, that you must absorb, spiritually speaking. 17. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. You know, when God is angry, it also, righteous indignation comes up in the heart of a real Christian. And you'll have the traditions of men will come along and say, Christians never get upset about anything. Oh, well, then they're not really a Christian. They're a play actor. They're pretending to be a Christian. When you see Satan abusing our people, you cannot help but have the righteous indignation of Almighty God rise up in you to want to make a difference. Or you're spiritually dead in a hammer, worthless. Good for nothing. God's children need truth. And the remnant, God's election, must see that that is taught. Period. Okay? No excuses, but never apologize for righteous indignation against the acts of Satan or his little children or those that are deceived by him. Verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuse to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as water that fail? This is said in kind of in irony, and what it is God is never going to allow that to happen. In other words, there may be times in your life you'll grow a little tired. Do you know what God's answer to it is? Next verse. Verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, now listen closely, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Don't you worry about them. Don't you go there. Don't you participate. You teach my word, period. That's it. They will either come to that word or that's it. And that is God's answer to that. It's amazing to me how people choose to be misled with God having sent this letter. A little long, yeah, but it covers the same subject from beginning to end. Reads like a novel, one man and his family and how they are affected by Almighty God and how God uses them down through history. And but Father said, hey, at any time, if you teach that truth and one of them repents, one of those that I want nothing to do with it, if they repent, let them return to you, but don't you go there. You got that? Now, I don't want anyone to get on the guilt trip and think, I can't go around sinners. No, that's why we were sent here. Okay. That's why God sends the truth, is to help sinners. Okay, verse 20. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced, brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You can't lose. When you teach God's truth, when you teach His Word, never making any apology for it, staying firm, and do it in love, but with strength, you never have to worry, because God is always with you. And there will be people that word will touch, and it will draw, and it will heal, and it will lead, guide, and direct, and bring them into the fold of Almighty God, because He does care. He cares about those that care about Him, about their heritage, about the beautiful eternity that we have before us, not those that want to whore after Satan. Okay, you know, you should have a little pride about yourself that you won't be involved with that sort of thing that upsets your loving Father. And I want to make it again very clear. He said, you can teach. They're going to give you trouble. You can count on it. I mean, just get set for it coming out the gate. They're going to try to abuse you, but they can't, because I am with you. And if through the teaching of my word, God's word, they repent, then accept them. Okay? Because, I mean, after all, that's what it's about, is dragging God's children out of the fire of deception, of Satan's clutches. One more verse to complete the chapter. Our Father speaking, and I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible, that is to say Satan, that is to say the Antichrist. That's God's promise. What have you got to worry about? Well, I'm afraid of being delivered up. He said, I'll deliver you out of his hand. I give you power over him. I'm with you. That's why you've got the victory. And hey, if you don't trust him that much, why would you want to call yourself a Christian anyway? Because you can trust him. He said it, it's written, he meant it. And if you've ever experienced it, if you've ever really taught his word truthfully, if you have tried to share truth with the general public, with even friends, you know how some of them resent it. You know how they do not like the truth. It offends them. But it should not offend you. Why? God is with you. And we will have and do have the victory. That's present, past, present, and future tense. We've got it made. Why? Because we're Father's children, the remnant, God's elect. Don't ever forget that. Does that make you special? No, it makes you a child of God. And it keeps you out of that fiery furnace of deception, spiritual death. That is to say, many of them are deader than a hammer spiritually. You need to pump a little life into them. That's what God wants through the famine for knowledge and wisdom, simply from teaching His Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It's self-explanatory, basically. Okay, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart, you listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe there will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the mark of the beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, then you share it. As always, please do not ask a question about some denomination, some church, some individual, or organization. Let's don't judge people. I think our Father documents from His Word that He's quite able to judge. So leave that to Him, and you stay out of that. It is true you're supposed to have spiritual discernment for your own good to stay out of trouble, meaning picking an association with someone. You can. God's Holy Spirit will let you sense wickedness a mile away. Well, half a mile, anyway. He'll keep you out of trouble. Those of you that listen by shortwave, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. Now, you got a prayer request, we can do away with the number and the address. You don't need it. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He does. And He's a mind reader. And He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but He does love you. So let Him know. It's so easy to follow the if. If you will follow my word, I will be with you. You will be my people. I will be your God, and it will be well with you. That's His promise. So why not live when it's well with you? In other words, you've got God's blessings. That makes it so wonderful. Think about it. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and get into some questions here. We're going to go with Mary from Tennessee. I like doing the Bible study. It's the greatest program. Well, thank you. Our Father's good to us. My question, when we die, do we go straight to heaven? Because if we do, how then can we arise from the grave at the coming of Jesus to meet Him in the sky? Well, somebody's got to be wrong then, don't they? Guess who it is? It would be you. Okay, because 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, "If you don't be ignorant like the heathen are, because if you believe Jesus rose from the grave and went to heaven, then you better believe all those that are asleep or dead in Him are there with Him already. Why? Because the dead must rise first." Meaning what? They're already gone. They're out of here. And then, at the trump, we that remain here, then he would go on and say, there is no way that we that are alive can precede those that are dead. Just a statement meaning, they're already gone, how could you precede them? Okay, so you couldn't, it's just a statement of truth. And so at the last trump, we join them. And also, would you tell me, when two are in the field and one is taken, where does the one taken go, and what happens to the one that is left behind? The one that left behind, Jesus said, "How happy I will be to find one still working in my field." And when you read Matthew 24 and Mark 13, it makes it very clear. What does it say? It said, "Don't let some preacher that comes in my name claiming to be a Christian preacher deceive you." Don't let somebody that comes in my name trick you. "For I am not coming back until after the son of perdition stands in the holy place claiming to be God. And And there, he's going to catch some. Some are going to be caught with child, meaning what? The first ones taken is taken by Antichrist. And you're going to hear a lot of preachers say, oh, I just want to be the first one taken. A child can read it simply by following the manner that of literature goes, following subject and object, and tell you who's taken first. They go with Antichrist. They're seduced by him spiritually. And guess what that gets them if they don't change? That gets them a big write-off out of the Book of Life as far as the first resurrection is concerned. Richard from Connecticut. Is Revelation 12:14 telling us that the church in the tribulation will be brought into a place of safety? It tells us that God's election, which is the church actually, will be brought into a place of protection, what? Under Christ, under our standard. God has said they can't harm one hair on your head at that time in Luke chapter 21. And they cannot. So naturally what it says, an eagle will provide the way of safety at that time, and the earth itself, our great land, will help the election. And naturally we know that Satan himself is going to cause to be delivered up, to be tried. That is simply to say, to witness, giving you that opportunity to spread the truth to the world. It's our moment. It's the moment of most Christians to really help the deceived. Linda from Idaho, where in the Bible is the story of the handwriting on the wall? Daniel chapter 5, verse 5. One of the funniest places in the Bible. I mean, they have brought out the holy vessels, polished them up, filled them all the way up with hard stuff, and they're drunk. Okay. They are just having a big old knockdown, drag out drunk with the vessels from the temple of God. And all of a sudden, the king sees this hand, just a hand appear, and it writes on the wall. And he began to quake, and his loins turned loose, and he wet all over himself. Okay? And I think it's funny. I think our Father has a sense of humor. He got his attention, and that drunk bunch kind of sobered up pretty quick. Rick from Iowa, where do you find the holy names in the Bible? Well, naturally, to me, the holy names are Hebrew. So you're not going to find them as such, as to me, as the holy names in English necessarily, and be able to recognize them. I want you to take your Strong's Concordance, go to the Hebrew Dictionary, and go to 3070, okay? And you will have the descriptive names in of the sacred name. That is to say, Yahweh Yireh, the God that provides. If you really believe him, if you really trust him, if you really follow him, Yahweh Yireh is the sacred name. This is what you call me. Then there are several names. One of my other favorites is Yahweh Shema. Do you know what that means? That is Yahweh, our precious Savior, Almighty God, our Father. Shema, he's there. He's here. He's come home. He's here for good. Not in spirit, but de jure. De facto is when you take something by force. De jure is when you take it because it's legally yours. Okay, well, it's de jure. He returns. Okay, 3070, and just read them off there for yourself in your Hebrew dictionary of your Strong's Concordance, and then you can trace them back to where you find them as they're translated into the English Bible. Samantha from Georgia. Would you please explain Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18? Chapter 1, verse 18 can be a little deceiving because it leads one that doesn't understand Ecclesiastes, that it's telling you that wisdom can get you in trouble. And that could be very confusing if you didn't know which type of wisdom it's talking about. Wisdom to do wrong will get you in a bunch of trouble. And it is talking about wisdom of the world. Let me take a shortcut and say street smarts of wickedness, okay? That can get you in trouble. Ecclesiastes is written to the man that walks under the sun. What man walks under the sun? Our flesh bodies. Not your spiritual body, your flesh body. And Ecclesiastes is a book that tells you how to be comfortable, how to be happy in your flesh body. That's what it's all about, and it is a precious book. And what it's telling you is the ways of the world, the wisdom of the world, wisdom in Satan's knowledge can get you in trouble. Wisdom in God's knowledge can save you. Okay. Tacoa from Georgia. Can God save at the last minute? God can save whenever He chooses. Okay. If someone at the very last minute, when they're of death, when their life is passing before, if they repent and love God and believe, truly believe, you can't con God. God can just reach down and touch them just like that. I'll give you an example. The thief, there were two malefactors hung on each side of Christ. How long had they been malefactors? How long had they been against God, or at least not serving God, but crooks, thieves, robbers? And one of them in that last moment cried out. He believed. And Jesus said, this day I will see you in paradise, on the right side of the gulf as well. Okay, saving just like that. So that's not our business in a way. We have to leave salvation up to God. He's the one that does it, okay, through the Son. Sharon from Kansas. I know Jesus will return soon. I am widowed and disabled and needing to plan my estate to accommodate for my future needs. For how long into the future do I need to plan? Forever, okay? Plan like we could go tomorrow, but plan your finances like you've got to be here forever, okay? You would have some preachers that might tell you, well, honey, you won't need it anymore, send it all to us. Okay, no. You don't do that. You take care of yourself. And you plan, don't you ever set a date and say, I don't have to save past this day. You plan forever. You use wisdom, darling, okay? You take care of yourself and you'll do real good. Don't be setting any dates. You set it up where you got her for as long as you need it, okay? Enjoy, okay? Pat from Connecticut. Please list the types that will not be in the millennium. The people that refuse to accept the truth regarding the rapture doctrine, and those that would rather follow incorrect teaching because of churchosity. Depart from me, I never knew you. Well, that means as far as taking part in the first resurrection. But the millennium is for the sinner. The millennium is for those that never had an opportunity to learn the truth. And there's a lot of them. A lot of people never have a chance to hear the real truth. All around the world, you think about it. And that's why the millennium, that's why God would call it the Lord's Day. And that's why that a thousand years with God is just that's just one day with Him. It's called the Lord's Day. And that's when He really reaches out and touches all people of all nations, all languages, whereby they have an opportunity to see our Father. And this is what, you know, where's your documentation, you might say? Because this is what throws a lot of people, because they don't understand the Greek and it's not translated as it should be. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. It says, the rest of the dead must remain dead for 1,000 years. Do you know what it really means? It means everybody's changed into a spiritual body, but they didn't take part in the first resurrection, so their soul is still mortal. Because a mortal must put on immortality, meaning a soul. Not your spiritual body, your soul must put on immortality, meaning deathlessness or live in eternity. So if they didn't make the first resurrection, they must remain spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Until the end of the millennium, whereby they may participate in the second resurrection if they love the Lord, if they follow Him. Okay? So, everyone, there are no types. Everyone that didn't make it will have a chance, except those that left their first habitation. And 7,000, as it's written in Revelation chapter 11, will die in the streets of Jerusalem. And that means a soul death. Fini, blotted out. That's the fallen angels. Ruth from Florida, I'm a new listener to your program. I really enjoy it. I have just finished reading the New Testament. Something I don't understand in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Will you explain this to me? I've always been told God loves everyone. Do you think this is a one-time thing, or does God hate other children before Him they're born? Please explain. See, this is when, as it is written, what she's quoting is Romans 9, where it says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. You can read it again in Malachi in the Old Testament. God hated Esau. And you have to understand there was an earth age before this one. And we were all with God. And God condemned Satan to death there, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. And Esau there, he didn't care anything about his heritage. He didn't care about father. Neither did he in this earth age. But what this earth age is about is a child born innocent. And whether God loves it or hates it, it has the opportunity to overcome, to love the Lord. He sent the Savior. And that can change just like that. But I think probably you learned from today's lecture that God can hate. He can get fed up. And you can't blame Him for that. There's kind of a difference in hate and righteous indignation. Okay? Jerry from California. My question is, I know the difference between the six-day creation and the formation of Adam, but explain why Eth Ha'adam appears in Genesis 1:27 and in 2:7. Which one is talking about the six-day creation? Because why? Go back and read it again. What did God say? And this is the reason you find Eth Ha'adam. This is the Hebrew for saying the man Adam. Because God, in that 27th verse, said, let us make man in our, including himself, which makes it Eth Ha'adam, his son, his only begotten son. Okay, that's why Eth Ha'adam. Because he that was made in God's image is Jesus Christ. Okay? Got it? The ethnos was still Adam. Barbara from Connecticut. Pastor Omri, my question is, where in the Bible is the verse that we should cry when a child is born into the world and we should rejoice at the passing away? I think probably you're thinking about that book I said has to do with living in the flesh. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. We'll get you started on that study. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. Richard from Louisiana. I'm confused about the footprint you showed that was in rock. I thought in the spirit they were weightless, invisible. Boy, was I wrong. Please explain. It was the first earth age. And let me ask you something. How do you think that the fallen angels were able to impregnate woman if they're weightless and are a spook? Okay. They have a spirit just like you have a spirit. I have a spirit. I use that spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I use my spirit to expound upon the Word of God. wed with the Holy Spirit, hoping that it influences people. Everyone has a spirit, and certainly our Father has that spirit. So what did they do then? If we're made in their image, what did our people eat in the wilderness for 40 years? Really 38, but be that as it may. Manna from heaven. Well, what is manna from heaven? It's angels' food. It's what the angels eat. It sustains these flesh bodies. So there is mass when they are de facto in person. Now, if it's just a spirit, that's a different thing. But they do, there is such a thing as when Satan and his angels are cast out to this earth. Okay, I guarantee you, you'll be able to see them because they'll physically be here. Gene from Georgia. Some people say there will be no animals in heaven. Please tell us in what book we can find this. Isaiah chapter 11. But they're not, you must remember, they're spirits, they're not carnivores, okay? And that's why that one that would be vicious here on earth is with maybe like a lamb or a calf or a child playing with a snake, because they're not carnivores nor dangerous. Georgia from California. Who was Cain's wife and where did she come from if Eve was the only woman on the planet? She wasn't. This is why I was asked earlier about Adam. Is that on the sixth day God created all the races. That's why we have multiple races here on earth. God created them, he gave them duties to hunt, to fish, and he looked, as it is the last verse of that chapter, one, and it was good. God's happy with all the races. That's why he created them. They're his children. But then, after resting the eighth day, he found out on the eighth day he didn't have a farmer. And it would be through this one that Christ would come, and he created Adam. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a lot because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, you know something? It makes Father's Day. You know, he doesn't have all that many people that really like to study his Word in depth, as it is written, in the simplicity that Christ bought it. He loves you for that. You make his day, he makes yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God, he will always bless you. Most important, this. Hey, you stay in his word. Every day in his word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.